I'm choking to death with this thing. He pulled at the top of the shirt and the tie came off with a snap. Oops. Here, give it to me. Her mom clipped it back into place. Now, go get the chess set while these two do all the work. Hey, I don't get a hello? Mary called. He stopped running toward the closet and cocked his head to the side. I just saw you this morning. Mary's face flushed, feeling Noelle and her mother's eyes on her. Fine. I didn't want your stinky hug anyway. He laughed, dancing his way over, and wrapped his arms around her neck tight. Thank you. He pulled back and she held out a handful of marshmallows. When you act sweet, you get treats. Jace popped the whole mess in his mouth and smiled. His cheeks puffed out like a chipmunk. Ugh. Go get the chess set. Gross. He took off for the hallway chortling. Mary caught Noelle's smirk and scowled. What? Nothing, Noelle said, coming over to sit next to her. Last I heard, you'd forgiven Clark for walking out of the bar, but I didn't know we'd moved on to brown chicken, brown cow. Will you stop? My mother is listening to every word. I'm not listening to you. I'm going to play chess. See? Mary kicked Noelle's foot with hers, fighting back a grin. I didn't stay the night. I got up and made cinnamon rolls with them this morning. Ah. So none of the other. Mary ducked her head, slicing through an orange tuber with a smirk. I see that smile, Noelle hissed. All right, stop. We can talk about this later, when Tiny Ears and Moms aren't in the next room. Fine. Where's Daisy? Jace asked. In the laundry room with Butch, Victoria said. Miss Daisy stole the first batch of rolls this morning when no one was looking, so she cannot be trusted around food. Can we let her out later? Jace asked, his tone laced with hope. Once all the food is put away, absolutely. Noelle held her hand out to Mary. Why don't you pass the torch to me and go say hi to your honey? Mary grinned, handing her the knife. Thanks. You tell Clark I'm waiting in here for my hello, her mom called over her shoulder. If you want something, Mom, you gotta go after it, her mother turned, giving her an arch look as Mary laughed her way out the door. Clark, Nick, and her dad were standing around the fryer talking, but when she stepped onto the porch, Clark smiled at her tenderly. Butterflies erupted in her stomach, and she wanted to walk over to him and snuggle into his arms, but she wasn't sure how Clark would feel about PDA in front of her family. How's the turkey? Mary asked.
Coming along, her dad called. This is going to be so good. It takes a quarter of the time and gets a real crispy skin.
How do you know? You've never fried a turkey before, Mary said.
They did a demonstration when I was in Twin Falls last week. That's where I got this baby.
Mary eyed the fryer warily. Maybe you should let Nick get the turkey out, in case there is grease splatter.
I've got my gear over here.
Her dad held up his black-gloved hands and adjusted the goggles over his eyes.
I'm ready. I've never even cooked a turkey. Why would I be better at frying one?
Nick asked. Because you're young. You'll heal faster. Nick glared at her.
I feel used and kinda expendable.
Clark clapped him on the back.
I'd miss you, Nick.
Thanks, Clark. Holly and Sam were off to the side having their own conversation. Sam gave Mary a wave as she sauntered by on her way to Clark, but when she pointed to Holly and made a scissor motion, he scrunched his face disconcertedly.
What do you need cut?
He teased. Don't test me, Sam. I'll come for you.
Why are you threatening my brother?
Clark asked, his hand brushing hers when she stopped next to him. She took the invitation and laced her fingers with his. He knows why.
I'm being unjustly threatened.
Sam protested. Chris leveled him with a dry stare.
Son, I've known you a short time, and if my daughter is threatening you, it's with good reason.
Everyone laughed but Sam, who held a hand over his chest.
Damn, Chris, that hurts.
Why don't you go in and help Noelle with food prep? Mary shot Sam a pointed look.
Hey now, I don't want Sam anywhere near my girl, Nick argued,
smoothing down the front of his collared shirt. He's prettier than me.
Thanks, Nick.
It's the hair,
Sam said, flinging his head back. Come on, Sam. Let's go inside where it's warm. Holly stuck her tongue out at Mary when she glared at her sister.
Dad, can I murder Holly?
Mary asked.
You people do what you want.
Her dad squatted down, checking the fryer gauge.
I'm busy.
Holly and Sam disappeared inside, and Clark whispered in her ear, Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you may want to go tell my mother that. She said she's not coming out to get her greeting from you.
Sounds like I'm in trouble. Excuse me. To her surprise, he kissed her cheek before heading into the house. Nick's gaze landed on Mary, his eyebrows raised.
So? When did that happen? Mind your own business, son,
their dad said without looking up from the temperature gauge.
Mary sneered.
Yeah, Nick.
Geez, can't even ask a question around here. I'm going to see what my girl is doing. Have fun turkey watching.
Left alone with her dad, she hopped up on the porch railing.
About Clark.
You don't need to tell me anything. Like I told him, as long as he treats you with respect, you are adults and can do whatever you want.
Her dad climbed to his feet and lifted the goggles up, his gaze serious.
I'm glad we have a moment to talk.
Mary swallowed.
About what?
It's gonna be busy tomorrow with the season opening and the big anniversary. I thought you'd like to get up and hang with me for the day. See what I do and help me keep things running smoothly.
I've helped out on opening day before, Dad. I know it's all hands on deck.
I'm not talking about hauling trees. I want to go over all the projections with you and make sure orders get filled. Oversee things.
He cleared his throat.
I know you weren't happy when I brought Clark on board, and your mom said you might feel like I don't want you running the farm when I retire.
He said the last like it tasted bad.
I'm just not ready to admit I'm getting old.
You aren't old, Dad.
Tell that to my back in the morning.
Mary laughed. I just mean that I'm not going to push you out. But I want you to know that I love this place, and I will help you take care of it. That's all.
Her dad crossed the porch and hugged her, the rubber of his gloves squeaking as he patted her back.
When did you grow up on me? You and your sister. You have your own lives, and I still see my gangly little girls with missing teeth playing hide and seek in the trees.
He released her, his voice stern with authority.
Go to bed early tonight. I want you up here at 5:30 for coffee and breakfast.
The farm doesn't open until 10.
And there's a lot that goes into getting it ready. And with this being a big anniversary year, it will be a madhouse. If you don't want to learn—
No, I'll be here, she said, hopping down.
Thanks, Dad. And for the record, I still feel like that awkward little girl sometimes. Holly poked her head out of the door.
Hey, Mom wants you in here so she can force all of us to share what we're grateful for.
Mary groaned.
Seriously? I don't make the rules.
So hurry your butts up. Holly closed the door and her dad shrugged.
Your mother likes all of the sentimental stuff. Best to humor her.
It's just awkward with Sam and Clark here.
Why? Aren't you grateful for them?
Mary shot her dad a disgruntled look.
Yes. I'm not sure how much to say, though. Clark is, well, he hasn't dated anyone in a long time, and I don't want to scare him off.
Honey, I like Clark a lot, but if you pour your heart out to a man and he runs, he wasn't the guy for you, and I say good riddance.
He pulled his gloves and goggles off, curling his arm around her shoulders with a tight squeeze.
If it's any consolation, I think Clark will stick around.
Thanks, Dad.
I love you.
I love you too.
Good. Now, let's get in there before your mom comes looking for us.
Mary followed behind her dad, and the minute she shut the door, her mom started barking orders.
Oh, good. Get a glass of something to drink. We can't do a proper toast without something to drink.
Holly handed her the glass of wine she'd poured earlier, and Mary went to stand next to Clark and Jace. Clark took her hand in his free one, and to her utter delight, Jace leaned back against her, sipping on a glass of bubbling cider.
All right, everyone has a drink.
Her father held up a glass of amber liquid, and she smiled in approval.
Excellent. Now, we are going to go around the room and say what we're grateful for.
Mary and her siblings, including Noelle, groaned, and their mom narrowed her eyes.
I'll start.
I'm grateful that my family is good-natured enough to go along with all of my traditions, no matter how tedious they may seem. I am grateful for my husband, although that may change depending on how his turkey turns out.
Her mom kissed her dad, sliding her arm around his waist.
I'm only kidding, darling.
She raised her glass, her eyes scanning the room warmly.
My children, who have grown into wonderful adults for the most part. Clark, thank you and Jace for coming into our lives. And to Sam, thank you for making me laugh.
It's been my pleasure, Victoria,
Sam purred, waggling his eyebrows.
Be careful how much you charm my wife, pretty boy,
Chris deadpanned. The adults chuckled.
Can I go next?
Jace asked.
Sure.
Victoria smiled fondly.
Then we'll go around the room clockwise after you're done.
Jace pulled out his collared shirt, his tie having gone by the wayside.
I'm grateful my dad and I can have fun together again. In California, he worked really hard, and his head hurt all the time, so he didn't want to play as much. But since coming here, he smiles more, and he wants me to be his mate again when we cook. He has the best pirate voice I've ever heard.
Jace,
Clark groaned.
What?
Keep going, Jace, Mary said, giggling. What else are you grateful for?
Jace looked up at his dad, his expression bewildered.
Can I?
Go ahead, buddy.
Okay. I am grateful for Victoria and Chris, all the friends I made at school, and I am glad my dad likes Mary because she is really nice, and I want her to stay with us forever. Amen.
Tears in her eyes, Mary dropped Clark's hand and hugged his son from behind, kissing his cheek. Thank you, Jace.
It's your turn, Clark,
Chris said.
Although, I don't know how you follow that.
I don't know how I do either.
Clark cleared his throat.
This is the first Thanksgiving we've had where it wasn't just the two or three of us. I'm grateful to be here today with all of you. Victoria and Chris, I can never repay you for everything you've done for us. You have the biggest hearts, opening your home and your family to my son and me, and I see that goodness in your children.
Mary watched her siblings smile as they listened to Clark. Mary's arm was still around Jace, his little hand holding hers against his chest.
Sam, I am so lucky to have you for a brother. Thanks for being there for me,
Clark said, slapping his back. Sam gave him a one-armed hug.
Same goes, bro.
Mary.
Clark turned her way, his smile sweet and loving.
Getting to know you has changed my life. Thank you for giving me a second chance to make a better first impression.
You're very welcome.
And that's what I'm grateful for. Cheers.
Clark took a drink from his glass and then leaned over to kiss her cheek, his arms slipping around her waist.
Guess that means I'm up,
Sam said, holding his beer bottle in the air.
Thank you for good friends, good food, my family, and my health. Salute.
Salute.
Clark's mouth moved to her ear, his voice barely audible.
I have more to say, but it's not appropriate in front of your family. But I'll tell you the rest later.
Mary blushed, leaning into him.
I can't wait.
The remaining speeches were short and sweet, even Chris's, who finished his asking if they could have dessert before dinner. Before Mary finished them off, someone knocked at the front door.
Who could that be?
Victoria asked.
I got this,
Clark said, letting Mary go to answer the door. Martin stepped inside, shaking Clark's hand. The two men spoke quietly until Mary's dad barked,
What is going on, you two?
Sorry,
Clark grinned sheepishly, holding the door open.
Martin and some of the other farm employees helped me with a surprise for you and Victoria. I know it's not Christmas, but I couldn't wait. if you'll all join us outside?
Jace wiggled out of her arms to follow his dad, with Mary trailing at the end of the group. She heard her mother's gasp of surprise, and a smile spread across her face when she realized what Clark had done. She stepped up next to Clark and watched her parents sit down in the rocking chairs Clark made for them.
These are beautiful, Victoria murmured, her hands gliding over the arms.
Tears spilled down her cheeks, and she dashed at them with a laugh.
I can't believe you made them.
Clark waved a hand towards Martin, and the other men scattered down the steps of the porch.
I did. But they are from all of us. He's being humble. We didn't even know about them until he asked to borrow my truck Monday, Martin said.
Their voices muffled as Mary watched Clark blush as Martin patted his shoulder, her heart racing. Clark created beautiful rocking chairs for her parents and gifted them early because he couldn't wait. He included the other employees, even though the gift was really his. He played pirates while cooking with his son and took his brother in when he had nowhere else to go. With the exception of her father and brother, he was the best man she knew, and she'd fallen irrevocably in love with him.
We're going to get back to our families, Martin said, waving. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mary and the rest of her family chorused. When the men disappeared around the corner, Chris got up from the rocker and approached Clark, taking his hand and bringing him in for a back-slapping hug.
This was very generous of you, Clark. Thank you.
Her dad pulled away from a stunned Clark and waved at her.
Mary, don't you still need to tell us what you're thankful for?
Mary looked around at her family, joy coursing through her as she spoke from the heart.
I'm grateful to be home, living my dreams and discovering new ones. I'm grateful for my family and their unwavering love and support.
To Sam, her gaze landed on him in the corner next to Clark and grinned. It's like having another annoying brother around, and I love it. Jace, the greatest kid in the entire world.
He'd climbed up into her dad's rocker and stalled his motions when she called out to him.
Thank you for keeping my dog entertained.
Jace beamed.
You're welcome, but Chris said she was his dog now.
I said no such thing, you scamp,
Chris growled, picking him up out of his chair and dropping him in Victoria's lap as the boys squealed with laughter. When the ribbing died down, Mary turned her gaze on Clark, a tender smile on her lips, and Clark, who came out of nowhere. I look forward to more surprises and a lot of happiness in our future. She watched his face for panic or uncertainty, but there was none. To her delight and amazement, he drew her into his arms and kissed her softly, in full view of her family. And her heart flipped.
To our future, he murmured.
Chapter 25. Mary followed behind her dad as they headed for the flocking tent, ready for a nap, and it was only 2 p.m. on Friday. When they'd gone over the books this morning, she'd been shocked to realize how delicate the profit margins were on the farm. One disaster, and it could take years to recover, if it didn't bankrupt them. She'd discovered the only thing that kept them afloat after a bad crop was her mom's income, and none of them, not Nick, Holly, or herself, knew. She paused just inside the trees, her eyes scanning the hills of green firs covered in the several inches of snow that had fallen this week. But even though the temperature hadn't risen above 20 today, the sun was shining and the farm was celebrating, especially Mary. Her dad was finally including her in the day-to-day of the farm. Daisy scratched on the door to be let out instead of having an accident. And she'd enjoyed a very hot, sexually explicit wake-up call with Clark before he'd gone home to get ready for the day. And even though Mary was 100% sure she'd fallen in love, she decided not to say anything until he did. There was plenty of time for heartfelt confessions, and the fact that he'd toasted to their future in front of her family gave her a level of confidence that he was feeling it too. Tires squealing in the distance disrupted her happy thoughts, and an old blue car fishtailed into their private driveway, spraying gravel as it skidded to a stop in front of the house. The car took out her mother's white planter. Soil and snow exploded on the other side of the car like a landmine, and Mary gasped, bursting through the trees. What the hell were they thinking? At least he hadn't pulled into the Christmas tree parking lot where all of the customers were. The driver's door opened, and Mary hollered, "Are you out of your mind? This is a family farm, and there are children." A familiar old man climbed out, slurring his words.
"Remember me, Cupcake?"
"Mr. Olson, what are you doing?"
"I came to congratulate you. Celebrate the big hero. Savior of unwanted dogs and destroyer of lives."
"Mary, are you all right?"
her dad puffed, coming up behind her.
"Olson?"
Her father looked beyond to the shards of white wood littered across the snow and shouted,
"You destroyed my wife's planter."
Mr. Olson squinted past her.
"I could give two shits about your wife's planter, Chris Winters. I'm here to talk about your kid."
Mr. Olson stumbled, letting out a trembling whistle.
"You raised a gem here. Your daughter doesn't mind her own business. Do you know what she cost me?"
"I know that you were caught on video kicking a dog,"
her dad said coldly.
"It was on every local news channel. Maybe you should have kept your temper in check."
"I'd been scammed. I was the victim, and your daughter added fuel to the fire."
Mary shook her head, watching the keys in his hands. If he tried to get back into that car, she would tackle him. He was so drunk he could barely walk, let alone operate a vehicle. "Mr. Olson, whatever happened to you isn't my fault. If you'll give me your keys, we can go up to the house and get some coffee and talk."
"I don't want any of your damn coffee,"
he said, floundering back with his keys held high.
"You want my keys? Why? So you can take my car too?"
"No, I want them so you don't try to drive again," she said patiently, taking another step toward him. "You could hurt someone."
"I haven't hurt nobody. You're the one hurting people. The sheriff came out with those damn animal people and took my sheep, my dogs, gave me a fucking court date,"
he screamed, pulling a piece of paper from his pocket and waving at her.
"Said I had to make an appearance or they'd double my fine."
The old man opened his back door and bent inside. Mary saw her dad on the phone, and she took a few swift steps until she saw the dog crate.
"They didn't get everything, though," Mr. Olson muttered.
Panic surged through her at the scrape of the metal gate opening. If he released an aggressive dog with all of the people in the trees? Families. Jace. He liked to follow his dad around and help out. "Mr. Olson, don't!" she screamed, grabbing his shoulder. He spun around suddenly and knocked her off balance. She fell to the ground on her butt and threw her hands over her face, waiting for a raging animal to come flying out of the back of the car. A black blur flew overhead, squawking in outrage, and Mary lowered her arms, staring at the fat, beady-eyed chicken as it landed and took off.
"They didn't get my chickens,"
Mr. Olson crowed, clapping his hands.
"You want to take everything from me? Here."
He threw another red chicken in the air and it flapped frantically toward her. It landed a few feet behind her and hopped along after the other.
"Have another."
Her dad lifted her to her feet from behind.
"You okay, honey?"
"Yeah, but I think Mr. Olson is off his rocker."
"You're right about that."
Her dad ducked another screeching bird and hollered,
"Olson, knock it off. We don't want your damn chickens."
"Your daughter does. I'm just giving her what she wants."
He opened the trunk, and a dozen more birds poured out. When two hens hopped out of the back seat and casually pecked the ground around her feet, Mary burst out laughing.
"Mary?"
Her dad watched her guffaw as though she were the crazy one, and she wheezed.
"You gotta admit," she gulped for breath,
As far as revenge plots go, it could have been worse. Her dad's mouth twitched.
I guess you're right. Although the little bastards are going to poop everywhere.
When Mr. Olson went to the other side of his car and opened the front seat, her father ran around to stop him.
For the last time, Olson, stop releasing chickens.
Why? You don't like chickens?
He opened another cage before her dad reached him, and the two wrestled around for a moment before Olson let loose and staggered away, falling to the ground by the trunk. He frowned over the car as Mary laughed harder.
Why are you laughing? I'm ruining your great celebration.
Mary managed to get a hold of herself and walked over to where the old man's keys had fallen. No, you didn't, Mr. Olson, she said, picking them up off the ground. He scrambled after her, crawling across the gravel.
You can't take my car.
I'm not, but I'm making sure you can't either. She made sure all the animals were out before she closed the trunk and the rear passenger door. Dad, will you make sure there aren't any more chickens inside?
We're good,
he said, shutting the front passenger door. Mr. Olson managed to get back on his feet and followed behind her with an unsteady gait, his arms reaching for her like he was auditioning for The Walking Dead.
Where are you going? Give me my damn keys.
Not until you sober up, Mr. Olson. Her mother came running out of the house, Jace right behind her.
What in the world is going on?
Mr. Olson is executing his revenge against us. Well, me. She handed the keys off to her dad, but Mr. Olson was too busy retching to worry about snatching them anymore.
Chickens!
Jace cheered, running after a Rhode Island red hen who took off down the hill.
How many? Her mom asked.
Mr. Olson, you want to tell us how many chickens you brought us?
Don't know for sure, he heaved. Whatever I could catch.
Close to 20, I think, her dad said.
I'll let the guys know and we can start gathering them up.
Are they hens?
Her mom asked. Mr. Olson? He'd stopped vomiting and Mary prodded him in the shoulder. Are all the chickens you brought hens?
Yeah. I ate the rooster. Annoying bastard.
Her mother clapped her hands. Well, happy birthday to me. Jace, baby, stop chasing them. If you scare them, they won't lay any more eggs.
Oh, no, Mary's dad said firmly.
Victoria, we are not keeping these things.
That's where you're wrong, honey. Her mother's voice was sweet as sugar with a hard edge that brooked no argument. I've been asking for chickens for years.
And I was adamantly against them. I hate chickens.
But these were a gift. Her mother walked over to Mr. Olson and patted his dazed face.
Gordon, wake up.
What?
He muttered. I want to thank you for the chickens. He squinted at her in confusion.
Thank me?
Yes, thank you. I know it wasn't your intention, but we appreciate them.
Victoria, we don't have any place to put them.
Mary grinned sheepishly. Didn't you buy an extra dog kennel? Her dad's brows snapped into a murderous scowl.
Don't look so constipated, honey, her mom said, kissing his cheek. You'll love having fresh eggs, I promise.
Resigned, her father grumbled.
I'll get Nick. Mary, can you stay with Mr. Olson until the police arrive?
Yes, I can.
Tell everyone not to hurt my chickens, her mom called after him.
Mom, why do you want chickens?
For the eggs, dear, like I said.
Lowering her voice, she added, and only slightly to annoy your father. I thought you were supposed to love, honor, and obey your husband. Her mom scoffed.
Not since the Dark Ages.
Wedding vows now state wives are to love, honor, and annoy their husbands. Keeps them on their toes. You'll learn when you get married. Mary rolled her eyes. I might elope to Vegas when I decide to tie the knot. She didn't even cast Mary an outraged glance.
You wouldn't dare break your mother's heart like that. Cupping her mouth with her hands, Victoria shouted, Come on, Jace. Let's finish the cookies. Jace raced back up the hill and her mother patted her arm. Stop by the house after you're done with Mr. Olson. You look like you could use a cup of coffee. Thanks, Mom. Bye, Mary, Jace called as he ran past both of them. When she was all alone with Mr. Olson, she leaned against the car and listened to the old man snore. If only she had her phone, she could at least scroll through Instagram as she waited and answer messages. She'd already been able to fill all the generic pre-orders from Holly's Google Doc, and had half a dozen custom orders she needed to work on that were due before Christmas. She could be working instead of drunk sitting. And she looked toward the sky, silently asking, why her day went to hell. Mary heard a car and swirled around, expecting to find a sheriff's deputy rolling up the drive. Instead, a white Ford truck stopped alongside her. A woman leaned over the seat and waved, her voice carrying out of the open window.
Hi, you all right? Oh, yeah, just waiting for someone to pick up this chicken flinger. I'm sorry, what? She asked.
Sorry, long story. Can I help you? The woman appeared to be in her early 30s with russet brown hair and a dainty silver ring in her nose.
I'm looking for Clark Griffin. His folks told me he works here.
Mary paused, taking a step closer to the truck. He does? If you go out onto the main road and turn right, the next entrance will take you to the farm. He should be there.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Mary's curiosity got the best of her, and she asked, Would you like to give me your name in case I see him first?
It's Patrice, she said with a smile.
Mary stiffened, and the woman released a bitter laugh.
Guess he's told you about me?
Not a lot, Mary hedged.
I'm sure what he did mention didn't cast a flattering light on my character.
I put that man through the ringer. Patrice laughed bitterly, and Mary got the feeling she was fishing for a confirmation.
Probably won't be happy to see me.
Mary cleared her throat and leaned against the door. If you think that's the case, maybe you should wait.
I don't want to overstep, but he's at work and there's a lot of people down there today. He might not have time to talk.
You two involved? The question wasn't rude, simply curious.
We are. Do you? How is my son?
While her voice remained passive, Mary saw the pinch of sadness in her eyes and softened. He's a great kid.
So nothing like me, she joked.
Sorry. I don't know how to respond to that.
It's all right. Let me give you my number.
She pulled out a card and Mary leaned in to take it.
Tell Clark I'll be waiting for his call.
I will. Patrice?
Yeah?
You missed out. You shouldn't have left. What can I say that she doesn't already know? Take care.
You too, hon.
She rolled up her window and turned around, passing by the sheriff on her way out. Mary watched her turn the corner away from the farm entrance, her breath whooshing out in relief. At least Patrice took her advice not to approach Clark at work. She wasn't sure how he'd react seeing her after all this time. He said they always fought, but she was still the mother of his child. Jealousy zipped through her veins, not because she didn't trust Clark, but they did share a child. Even if she signed away her rights, Jace was still hers biologically. What if she'd changed her mind? If things ended so horribly between them, why would Clark's parents tell her where to find them? So many questions, and each one ticked her anxiety up another level. She flipped the card over and saw the neat print on the front. Patrice Nielsen, massage therapist. The sheriff's deputy parked on the other side of the blue car, and Mary slipped the card into her pocket, shaking the old man awake. Mr. Olson, your ride is here. He sat straight up in a panic, his head craning around.
Ah, shit. You called my wife.
No, sir, you can do that when they get you back to the station. By the time the cops got Mr. Olson and his car off the property, It was well past 3. The business card burned a hole in her pocket, and Mary headed down the hill to Clark's place. She knew he was most likely on the grounds helping people, but she didn't want to hand it off to him while he was working. In all honesty, Mary didn't want to be the one to give it to him at all. She saw Sam's motorcycle under its cover and climbed the porch steps, knocking furiously. Sam answered with his toothbrush hanging out of his mouth, his hair wet and slicked back like he was just out of the shower. Hey, Mary. I'm getting ready to go to work. You cool?
No. Not really. She pulled the card from her back pocket and held it out to him.
A woman came by and dropped this for Clark. Can you make sure he gets it? Sam took the card and read the name.
Fuck me, he said, removing the toothbrush.
She was here?
Yeah. She was headed to the main house. I was standing out front when she stopped and asked me about Clark.
Bitch, he snarled.
Mary winced, and he patted her shoulder reassuringly.
Sorry, but I never did like her. I only met her once, and I thought she was using Clark.
Sam held the card out to her.
Why are you giving this to me when you can hand it over yourself?
Because I don't know how he'll react.
And what? You think he'd shoot the messenger?
Something like that? Sam shook his head.
If you leave this with me, I'll burn it. I don't want that woman anywhere near Clark or Jace.
He took her hand and slapped the small white rectangle into her palm.
I promise you that no matter what happens, this will not affect the way he feels about you. Now scoot. I've got places to be.
Thanks a lot, Mary muttered, as she trudged up the hill, making a sharp right toward the flocking tent. It took her longer than normal to reach the covered area, dread weighing her entire body down. She spotted Clark coming back from the parking lot, a dark beanie pulled up over his ears, and when he spotted her, his face split into a jaunty grin.
Hey, you, he said, jogging the remaining distance to meet her. What's this I heard about chickens?
You mean the most bizarre form of warfare I have ever seen?
Yeah, that was a trip.
But there's something pressing we need to talk about first.
Mare, can it wait? I've got 4 people waiting for me to load them up, and I'm short your dad and brother.
Mary swallowed and held the card out to him. I have to give you this. She dropped it by about an hour ago. Clark took the card, his eyes shuddering. When he simply stared at the card without saying anything to her, she turned to give him a moment alone.
Whoa, wait a second, he said, putting a hand on her arm to stop her. Did she show up at the house?
Yeah, but she didn't get out of the truck. She was going to come down here to see you, but I told her you were busy. She said she'd be waiting for your call. In one swift jerk, he ripped the card in two and dropped it at his feet.
There is nothing I have to say to her.
Don't you want to at least find out what she wants? Mary prodded.
Why would I extend her a courtesy that she never once considered giving me?
Because she's Jace's mother.
Not according to the court system.
He cupped the back of her neck and kissed her forehead roughly.
I gotta get back to work.
The kiss lacked his usual tenderness, and he walked away from her without looking back, his stride eating up the ground and putting more distance between them. Her chest ached as she watched him go, imagining all the memories, the pain he'd thought long buried rising to the surface, and for the briefest moment, she hated Patrice for coming back and hurting the man she loved all over again. Maybe she was here to make amends. The thought hovered at the back of her mind as Mary picked up the pieces of the card and put them in her pocket. For 2 more hours, she carried trees out to the parking lot, handing out door prizes and taking payments, jumping in wherever she was needed. By the time the last car pulled out of the parking lot and the gates were shut, it was after 5, and Clark was nowhere to be seen. Mary walked by her parents' house and headed straight home. She didn't feel like talking to anyone at the moment. Her mother would take one look at her and know something was amuck, and it wasn't her place to share Clark's troubles, even if they affected her too. She noticed Clark on her front step when she'd almost reached the bottom of the hill, his elbows resting on his knees and his head down. Her stomach flipped on itself nervously as she picked up the pace. Hi, she said when she reached her fence. He looked up then, his expression ragged and her chest squeezed. Clark. Mary came through the gate and he stood up, crushing her to him. Her arms went around his waist, resting her cheek against his chest. I'm here, she whispered. I hate her, Mary. I don't even hate my parents, but I can't stand the thought of seeing her. If she asks about him, she already did. What? He pulled away, his eyes blazing. What did you say? She asked what he was like. I said he was a great kid, and she said, nothing like me then. You shouldn't have said anything. His voice broke over the words, and she shook her head. Maybe not. But I wanted her to know she screwed up. Mary's fingers dug into the muscles of his back, her voice shaking with anger she hadn't realized had been simmering under the surface for hours. That she left an amazing man who raised an extraordinary kid. I promise. I didn't tell her anything more than that, and I said it with the best of intentions. I'm sorry, Mary. God, I'm sorry.
Hey, stop.
She pulled him down onto the step with her, and he buried his face in her neck.
I don't think I can do it, Mary. You don't know the hell she put me through. And when she left him all alone in the room. Who does that?
Mary kissed his cheek, her arms looping around his shoulders. I don't know. The only person who can answer that question is Patrice. And you're right. You don't owe her anything. Clark lifted his head, a small smile tilting his mouth.
I sense a but coming.
I'm a little scared to overstep.
Mary,
he cradled her cheek, his gaze boring into hers.
Your opinion matters to me. If we're going to have a future, then I want you to be a part of my life, even the messy sections I'd rather forget exist.
Mary kissed his lips, happy tears stinging her eyes despite the stressful situation they found themselves in. But I think if you don't talk to her, it could make the situation much worse. Who knows? She may surprise you.
Chapter 26. Clark sat in the back of Brews and Shoes on Monday night, peeling the label off his beer bottle. The normally rustic bar ceiling sparkled with tiny white Christmas lights, the same lights interwoven into the green garland secured around the front of the counter. The moose head on the far side of the room had Christmas wreaths looped over its antlers, and above every doorway, including the one in the bathroom, were sprigs of green mistletoe. It had taken him 3 days to call Patrice, and when he had, she wouldn't tell him what she wanted over the phone. He'd agreed to give her an hour of his time and nothing more. It was more than he got when she left. He'd tracked her down 3 years ago, dipping into his savings to hire a private investigator and a lawyer to draw up the paperwork to give up her parental rights. When she'd told his lawyer she would sign for a price, he'd done it, nearly depleting his retirement. He'd have sold his kidney to get the money if it meant keeping Jace's heart safe from her manipulations. Clark noticed Nick and his friends sitting across the bar, chatting with ease, and he winced, wishing Mary was with him tonight. He knew she would have offered if he'd asked, but he wasn't sure Patrice would tell him the truth about what she wanted if he brought Mary with him. Mary hadn't pushed him to call or made a big deal about it. In the short time they'd been together, Mary understood that he needed to contact Patrice in his own time. She'd become more than the woman he was dating. She was the person he wanted to talk to at the end of a frustrating day. The voice telling him it would be all right. He missed her Christmas cookie scent while he was working. He wanted to hear her laugh every day of his life, or watch her play the Xbox with Jace, screaming at the TV when she got killed, and tickling Jace when he told her it was him. She'd become more than a lover, but a friend. His best friend. Patrice walked into the bar wearing a long trench coat and wide-legged jeans, her once dirty blonde hair a dark copper. It didn't take her long to spot him, but she took her time coming over. She went to the bar first, chatting up Ricky while she waited for her beer. and Clark's fist clenched around his own glass bottle. What game was she playing? When she finally slid into the chair across from him, Clark glanced at his phone. You've wasted 14 minutes of your hour.
I was just getting a drink. I noticed you already had one and thought I would join you.
She took a pull from her bottle and set it down, her blue-eyed gaze taking him in.
It's good to see you, Clark. You look well.
Thanks, Patrice. You look like you're healthy. Now what do you want?
Help.
That took him by surprise. You want my help? With what? She straightened her shoulders, her tone defensive.
I don't know if that PI you sent to find me told you anything, but I've made a mess of my life. I didn't mean to, but I got involved with some bad people, and I need a fresh start.
Here? He asked, incredulously.
No, I wouldn't do that to you.
After everything you've done, that's where you draw the line? She sat forward and hissed.
I know you hate me for leaving, but I couldn't stay. We weren't right for each other, Clark, and you know it. We carry our baggage around like battle shields, and all we did was clash. When I found out I was having a boy, I knew.
You knew what? That you were going to leave me alone with a newborn with no fucking clue what I was going to do?
Looks like you did all right for yourself. Cushy job, cute girlfriend. She seems sweet.
I've worked my ass off to take care of my son.
I'm not saying you didn't, but you're in a better position than me.
Let's cut the bullshit, Patrice, and tell me what you want. She pulled a folded envelope from her bag.
I have a letter for Jace I want you to give him.
What's in it?
Excuses, mostly. A few regrets.
She held it out to him, and he took it. That's it? Just the letter? That's the help you need?
No. There's one more thing.
She pointed.
If you flip it over, you'll see an amount. That's what I need. It will get me far enough away for a fresh start.
Clark sat back against the back of the seat, staring down at the numbers for several ticks. Finally, he dropped it onto the table and collected his thoughts. 3 years ago, you told my lawyer you wanted $5,000, and if I gave you that, you'd sign over your rights.
Our business is done.
Why would I give you another cent? Patrice shrugged.
I'm still the mother of your son. Has he ever asked about me?
Once or twice.
If I don't get out now, I'll be dead, she whispered,
the edge of desperation attached to every word.
What are you going to tell him? When he finds out you could have saved my life and didn't?
I don't have this kind of money.
Really? Because I think you do.
Her cool mask slipped slightly, and Patrice pulled down the collar of her trench coat, revealing purple finger brushes on her throat. Clark's breath hissed out.
Who did that to you? It doesn't matter.
Patrice let the collar fall back into place. Why don't you go to the cops instead of coming to me?
Because he owns the cops. Even if I got a restraining order, he'd make me disappear before they gave him a slap on the wrist. And I won't leave my daughter alone with that monster.
Your daughter?
Jillian. She's 2.
Patrice pulled out her phone and slid it over to him.
Look for yourself.
Clark tapped the gallery icon and scrolled through pictures of a little girl with white blonde curls and the same nose as Jace. He slid the phone back to her. Where is she?
Back at the hotel I'm staying at. The owner's daughter is sitting with her until I get back.
Even with the bruises, Clark might have been able to tell her to go to hell, but he'd taught Jace to be kind, to help those in need. If something terrible befell Patrice and Jace found out Clark could have helped, he'd never forgive him. And that little girl didn't have anyone else but Patrice. What would happen to her? There was no other choice. It will take me time to liquefy some of my assets. I can get you most of what you need by Friday. Are you good to stay in town until then?
I paid for the hotel through tomorrow, but I'm almost out of money. We left in a hurry.
Which hotel?
Mistletoe Motel, room 15.
I'll call and take care of it. He pulled some bills out of his wallet and handed them to her. This should be enough to get some groceries and whatever else you need.
Thank you. You could have told me to fuck off, you know.
No. I've hated you for a long time, Patrice. But you aren't wrong about how my son would feel if I didn't help you. I hope you really are going to make a better life for your daughter. I just have one more question.
What's that?
You said once that you couldn't have a boy.
Why?
Patrice smiled bitterly.
We all have our traumas, Clark.
Is that what you're going to leave me with? You had a rough childhood, so you abandoned your child because you were hoping for a specific gender? Her expression hardened.
I know your mom and dad didn't love you enough. But my stepdad? He loved me too much.
She finished her beer and set it to the side.
You can judge me all you want, Clark. But the truth is, you never really knew me. I saw a cute, shy guy at a party when I was on a bender, burning away my past one shot at a time. And I used him to make myself feel better. You wanted love so badly, you were willing to settle for a broken, borderline alcoholic. You were sweet, but I would have made you miserable. I knew when you told me you wanted him that you would take care of our son, that he'd be safe and loved. That's all any parent wants.
Don't play the martyr, Patrice.
I'm not. You may hate me for leaving, but imagine if I'd stayed. Can you say for sure that Jace would have been better off if I'd stuck around?
Clark sighed. I guess we'll never know.
Your friend said he was a great kid.
I know, she told me. He drained his beer and put her letter in his back pocket. She's the other reason I came tonight. She thought I should hear you out.
Well, thank her for me.
Good night, Patrice. He stood, took a step, but turned back to her. When you get to where you're going, let me know, all right? Her lips tilted up in a small smile.
Didn't think you cared, Clark.
No one deserves what's been done to you. I hope you and your daughter get your fresh start.
Thank you.
She climbed to her feet and touched his arm briefly.
You're a good man.
I'll walk you to your car and call the motel on my way home.
Hey, Clark,
Nick said as he approached them, his hand held out in greeting.
What are you doing?
Clark took Nick's outstretched hand and shook it, noting the hard squeeze. Just came out for a beer. When Nick's gaze shifted to Patrice, she offered her hand to him.
Hi, I'm Patrice Nielsen.
It's nice to meet you.
You from around here, Patrice?
I'm just passing through and thought I'd catch up with an old friend. I appreciate the offer, Clark, but I think I can make it to my car in one piece. It was nice to meet you, Nick.
Good to meet you.
I'll be in touch later this week, Clark. Thanks again.
Be safe. Clark gave Nick one of his closed-mouth smiles. I was heading home.
Alone?
Nick asked. Back to my son and brother, but yes. Nick's brown eyes bore into his.
Look, as a rule, I tend to stay out of my sister's dating lives, but I'm confused. You two were pretty cozy last week, am I right?
Yes.
Then who the fuck is that?
He asked gruffly. My son's mother. Nick whistled.
Does Mary know she's here?
She does.
All right, well, sorry to assume, man, but she's been through a few assholes. Noelle told me you were the one who stood Mary up before,
but from what I gathered, it was an emotional clusterfuck that worked itself out. Then I saw you here with her, and it wouldn't be the first time someone fooled me. Nick clapped Clark on the back. Glad to know I was wrong. Come on, join us for a beer and tell us all your worldly troubles. I should get home. Mary's waiting for me to tell her how it went. Shoot her a text. You've been working for my family for months, and now that you're dating my sister, I want to get to know the kind of man you are. Clark followed Nick back to his table, assuming he didn't have a choice. He pulled his phone out of his pocket and texted Mary. Your brother caught me as I was leaving and wants me to stay for a drink. We'll text you when I get home. He replaced the phone as they reached the table, where Nick's friends Pike and Anthony were waiting. He'd met them a few times at the Winters' home, but had only spoken to them in passing. Clark's going to join us, Nick said, taking a seat between his friends, and Clark sat across from Nick. Pike leaned back in his chair, watching Clark over the rim of a martini glass covered in red sugar, sucking on a red and white straw that resembled a candy cane. He released it with a pop and an ah of satisfaction. Welcome. Would you like a taste of Santa's lap? I think I'm good, Clark laughed. No one wants to drink after you, Pike. Anthony held out a hand, the big man's paw swallowing Clark's. How's it going, man? Along a curvy creek without a paddle. Sorry to crash the party. The more the merrier, Pike said, taking another suck of his straw. I have no idea why I hated on delicious drinks like this for so long. I could down a dozen.
And fall flat on your face, you lightweight. Speaking of which, I need another.
Anthony snapped his fingers in Clark's direction.
Clark, you want a drink? What's your poison?
I'll take a whiskey. Thanks. His phone buzzed, and he checked the message.
Don't let my brother bully you. I'll be waiting.
Nick leaned over and whispered something to Anthony, who grinned.
Coming right up.
Clark noticed Nick and Pike exchanging sheepish looks. What did I miss?
Nick chuckled. If Anthony offers to buy you a drink, it means he thinks you're good people, and he's about to get you very, very drunk.
I can't. I gotta drive.
If you get shit-faced, we'll call my sister to come get us, Nick said.
Pike finished off his drink and burped. Can she come get me, too?
What happened to Sally?
She's pissed at me over something stupid.
Nick shook his head. If she's angry with you, just admit you're wrong and apologize.
What if I'm not wrong? Pike asked.
Clark, back me up here, Nick said. He's wrong.
He wasn't sure how to respond, especially when Pike didn't seem in any mood to take advice from him. I don't know his relationships, so...
Yeah, but I know you've pissed Mary off at least once. What did you do to get back into my sister's good graces?
Groveled? Gave her a pie? Groveled some more? Nick leaned forward, pointing at Clark.
See? This is a man who understands women.
Nick's smile dissolved swiftly into an eerie expression.
But if you hurt her again, I'll take you to the top of Soldier Mountain and leave you there for the wolves.
Clark stared at Nick, his stomach churning. Nick burst out laughing.
You should see your face. I'm just kidding, man. One, hold on to your sleigh bells for Clark.
Clark jumped when Anthony set a tall glass with green liquid in front of him.
Did you make sure they put that something extra in it?
Nick asked, winking at Anthony.
Oh, yeah. He's going to love it.
Clark eyed the drink warily. I thought you were getting me a whiskey.
There's whiskey in there, Anthony said.
I'm a little worried you're trying to poison me. Pike snorted.
We'd never do that. If we were going to kill you, we'd make it look like an accident.
From their expressions, he wasn't 100% sure they weren't serious.
Chapter 27. Mary groaned as jolly old St. Nicholas blared from her phone, which was dancing across her nightstand obnoxiously. She picked it up and saw the time. 12:11. Pressing the green talk button,
She tried to roll onto her back, but Daisy was sprawled out on her back sideways. With a gravelly voice, she answered,
"You better be maimed and bleeding out.
Little sister, did I wake you up?" Nick asked cheerfully.
"Hanging up now?"
"No, don't do that. I need a ride. Clark and I had a little too much to drink, and Noelle is at work."
Mary sat up in bed and mumbled, "Alexa, turn on the bedroom light."
Blinded for several beats, she closed her eyes. She heard Daisy groan behind her, obviously as happy as she was to be disturbed.
"Since when is my man one of your drinking buddies?"
"Since he's had a rough couple of days, and I thought a few festive drinks at Brew's would do him good. So come get us, will ya?"
It wasn't that she didn't want her brother and Clark to get along, but Clark wasn't much for getting drunk. And it worried her.
"Give me 15.
"Thank you, sister."
"You are fend—" She hung up on whatever else Nick said and threw her legs over the side of the bed, opening one eye and then the other, blinking rapidly. She'd fallen asleep waiting for Clark to get home and opened her texts to him, scrolling through the half a dozen he'd sent. "Your brother and his friends may be trying to kill me. If I don't come home, Nick did it. I may be a little drunk. I miss you. I love your scent on my sheets. I'm Ned to sleep in my car. Sorry."
As she got up and threw on her clothes, Mary's mind raced. She'd never seen him drink more than a beer. But if he'd been kicking back drinks with Nick and his pals, then Patrice must have really spun his head. She wanted to be there with him for moral support, but respected his decision to go alone. Now her mind raced with what the heck that woman said to him. As much as she'd wanted to give Patrice the benefit of the doubt, Mary wouldn't allow her to hurt Clark or Jace again.
"Come on, Daisy," she said, grabbing her leash from the hook by the front door. The puppy hopped down each stair slowly, giving Mary a disgruntled look. "Don't blame me. You can tell it to Uncle Nick."
After Daisy went potty, Mary led her to the car, loading her into the back seat. She couldn't believe she'd actually fallen asleep, especially with how keyed up she'd been waiting for Clark to finish his meeting with Patrice. Maybe it was the late night and early morning romps with Clark, or the stress of knowing Patrice was in town, but she'd obviously needed the rest. She pulled into the Brews and Chews parking lot, stopping right outside the front door with her foot on the brake. She dialed Nick, waiting for him to answer.
"Hello, dear sister. Your Uber is here.
We're coming out.
Hurry up. I want to go back to bed."
The call ended and Mary watched the door open and Nick and Clark came pouring out, talking animatedly, like they hadn't a care in the world. Mary's eyes narrowed as Nick grabbed her passenger door and held it for Clark.
"In you go, pal.
You two look like you had a jolly good time."
"We did, sister."
Nick shut the door with a snap, and Mary's foot itched to hop from the brake to the gas and leave him.
"Sorry he called you, Mare,"
Clark murmured, leaning across the console to kiss her cheek, but Daisy intercepted his lips with her tongue.
"Ech, no, Daisy. That kiss was for Mary, not you."
"There will be no kisses until you explain a few things, sir," Mary said with only a hint of sternness. "First, why did my brother call for a safe ride and not you?"
"I thought I would sleep it off for a few hours in the Jeep and drive home. I didn't want to wake you up for that."
Nick opened the door as she added, "I would have rather heard your deep voice than Nick's annoying one."
"Hey now, that's not very nice."
Daisy jumped Nick as he slid across the seat, fighting off doggy kisses.
"Damn it, why did you bring the demon?"
"Because she goes nuts when I leave her alone. Doesn't she have a crate? She's laying across my lap and she's not exactly a Yorkie.
She hates her crate, and I like her a whole lot more than you right now, and didn't want to upset her.
She chews things when she's upset, so you can deal."
Clark reached across the console for her hand, bringing it to his mouth.
"We appreciate you coming to get us.
I mean, I love getting out of bed in the middle of the night. On a Monday."
"Technically, it's Tuesday," Nick said.
"There is no arguing with me during this ride. This is going to be a drive of quiet reflection to think about the poor choices you both made tonight, Nick huffed.
Damn, you sound like Mom.
Not my mom, Clark laughed. No, wait, it was higher than a laugh. Did he just giggle?
What the heck did you drink? Mary asked.
It's called a Hold the Jingle Bells. It was tasty.
When she didn't respond, he kept talking.
Anthony bought it for me. He was trying to make me feel welcome because he likes me. Nick just wants to kill me.
That caught her attention. Come again? He's exaggerating, Nick said.
You said if I hurt Mary, you were going to do me in.
But he gave Pike advice on how to get back into Sally's good graces. So I decided he could live. For now. Whoa, wait. What did Pike do to my Sally?
Mind your business, sister, Nick said.
You are very annoying. She pulled up to Nick and Noelle's apartment and spotted Noelle's car. Mary spun around in the seat to glare at her brother.
You!
What?
You were going to come out to get Clark anyway? And Noelle has to work early. No sense in waking you both up.
Nick dodged Mary's attempt to whack him with a grin.
Remember, fratricide is frowned upon. See ya, Clark.
Nick opened the back door, holding Daisy at bay, and dived out like he was afraid the puppy, or Mary, was going to follow. Next time your Uncle Nick comes over, Daisy, eat his shoes, Mary grumbled. She took the turn out of the parking lot and onto the main highway, glancing at Clark. Did you fall asleep?
No, I was thinking, he said.
About what?
Do you know what I thought the first time I ever saw you?
Not a clue.
That your smile could light up the whole world if the sun went out.
Mary smiled instinctively. That's sweet.
I realized something tonight, while I was waiting for Patrice to show.
His hand settled on her thigh as he leaned in, his lips tickling the shell of her ear.
I love you, Mary.
Her throat tightened. Really? The first time you drop the L-bomb, you do it drunk?
I remember you telling me once you were tipsy, not drunk before, and I'm saying the same thing to you. I didn't feel right driving, but I was already sobering up when Nick called you. I know exactly what I'm saying, because I realized it before I had a single drop of alcohol.
Right. That's why you were giggling with my brother and saying ridiculous things.
I didn't giggle.
Yeah, you did.
Regardless. I mean every word. I don't have very many people I consider friends, but you are so much more than that. I want to spend my days and nights with you, to hear about your day and tell you about mine. I love you, with all my heart.
Tears welled up in her eyes and she turned in her seat. If you really feel that way about me, it would have been nicer if you'd have called to tell me so earlier, instead of getting drunk with my brother. I fell asleep waiting for you. Clark cupped her face in his hands.
I'm sorry. It was nice to hang with guys my age, you know? I haven't done it in years, and after Patrice left, it felt good to blow off steam. I didn't mean to stay so late.
As disappointed as she was about his timing of I love you, Mary realized she was being bratty. Clark, I'm sorry. You should be able to go out and have fun without me carping at you. About Patrice. Mary put her hand on his arm. Are you all right?
It's a lot to unpack, but you were right. I did need to see her. It's going to cost me, but I feel like I got some closure.
Why will it cost you? Is she trying to get Jace back?
No. She asked me for money.
What? White-hot rage burned through her. Why?
Because she needed help and has no one in her corner. I understand a little bit about that. If it wasn't for your parents, Sam, and a lot of others over the years, I wouldn't have been able to finish my education, let alone provide for my son. Patrice may be a lot of things, but people deserve the chance to better themselves if they are willing to try.
You told me that if she was here, it wasn't good, that she wanted something. But I'd hoped that maybe she'd prove you wrong. I wouldn't give her a cent.
Clark chuckled. Yes, you would. If you'd been there, you would have bent over backwards to help her because you're an amazing, generous person. And as much as she's hurt me, I want to be the kind of man who deserves you, Mary. The kind of man my son can look up to. If something happened to Patrice because I didn't help her, I wouldn't be able to look my son in the eye.
I'm glad you feel good about helping her, but I don't like anyone taking advantage of you.
Clark took her hand, bringing it to his mouth.
Thank you for looking out for us. It means so much to have you in my life.
Thank you.
When are you getting her the money?
It will take me a few days, but hopefully by Friday. I didn't even tell you the craziest part. She has a daughter.
Mary hesitated a few moments, bringing his hand to her chest.
That must have been hard to hear.
More surprising than rough. But whatever happened to Patrice growing up, it's bad. I just hope she'll take the money and do better for herself and her little girl.
All you can do is have a little faith, I guess.
Daisy whimpered in the back seat, and Mary pulled her hand away.
I should get her home, Mary.
I know you think I'm saying things because my inhibitions are down, but the truth is, not telling you felt worse than saying it out loud at the wrong time. I know I'm not romantic, and I have bungled things with you more times than I can count, but I love you. I wish you'd been with me tonight, and I regret not bringing you along, if you're willing. I'd appreciate having you there when I drop the money to her Friday.
Mary's heart swelled. As far as romantic gestures went, this was huge, and she regretted giving him such a bad time about his tipsy I love you.
I'm more than willing. I wouldn't be anywhere else but by your side.
Clark smiled.